Now, I'd like to have everyone's absolute attention. This is the last Sunday of 2017. This is the last time I'll preach in 2017. Because I won't be preaching tonight, by the way. I won't be here. So let me explain that. Because some of you are going, what are you talking about? We're leaving right after the service where we'll go spend some time with Laura's parents, let them see the baby, and we're going to celebrate Christmas. So I will not be preaching tonight. This is the last time I'll be preaching. But this message has been burned in my heart. And I really hope and pray that everyone sitting here today, God has divinely ordained for you to be able to be here to hear this message. It is a message that has already worked in my life. I will encourage you before I preach this message, you need to listen to Wednesday night's message. It was the beginning of this message. But I want you to really to pay attention. Let's allow the Lord to speak to us, because I will continue this message probably for the next couple of weeks thinking about the new year. We are living in dark days. The church is getting darker. The world's getting darker. Christians are getting more casual. And we're living in a day that if something doesn't change, every grandchild that we love so much and we think so much of is going to have a hard way to go. And so the message that I'm going to bring this morning can affect and change all of our lives and can change the world if we'll allow the Lord to have His way in our heart. I don't want you seeing me. I'm just the messenger. I want you to allow the Lord to speak to your heart this morning. So let's get all pretenses away. Let's get all of our thoughts away from what's going to take place as soon as the service is over. Let's get away from all of those things, and I want us to focus in, what does God want to speak to me about today? Let's pray with that in mind. Heavenly Father, please, we need you this morning. I pray you'll help me to keep my eyes on you. There's so many distractions. We can be distracted by so many things. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us all to keep our eyes on you this morning. Help us to be tender. Help us to be tender. I pray you'll help us to be obedient this morning. Futures depend upon how we respond to you. I pray you'll help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you open the precious word of God to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Again, I want to encourage you to listen to the Wednesday night message. You can get the CD or you can listen to it on sermon audio. But I encourage you to get it. Listen to it. It was kind of the introduction to this message this morning. But in Deuteronomy chapter 1, again, I want to just, before I start speaking, and we will read the word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 1, when you think about Deuteronomy, Moses is speaking. It's really a summary of what's taking place, but really it's the second law. In other words, he goes over again the commandments and what God expects of his people. He kind of summarizes, and that's where we are here in chapter 1. He's going back summarizing the children of Israel from Egypt until where they are now. And in chapter 1, we find in verse number 19, Moses is speaking that if you want to find it in the Word of God, the real life event, you'll have to go back to Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14, because this event that he's getting ready to summarize and talk about is when the children of Israel came to the precipice. They were on the edge of the promised land, the land that God said that he had given to them. This was the land that was flowing with milk and honey. This was the land. The whole reason why God brought them out of Egypt was to come to this place, and now they're standing there on the edge at Kadesh Barnea, getting ready to cross over into the promised land. The reason they left Egypt. And now they're standing there after all of these years. And God's already told them, I've given you this land. He said, I want you to send 12 men out, 12 rulers, 12 leaders of each tribe, and I want them to go out, and I want them to search the land. And they went out, and they searched the land. They went out to see what was facing them, what was going to be, what they were going to be facing. And they had to realize, they went out, God said, I want you to take 12 men out there and spy the land. Spy the land. The Bible says 10 of them came back with an evil report. Evil report. Two of them came back and said that they were going to trust the Lord, and they said, we can take the land. The 10, the Bible says, came back, gave an evil report. The two came back and said, hey, we can do it. It tells us a lot when you hear numbers, when you hear statistics, when you hear a statistic like 10 and 2, that's a majority, obviously. We talked about that on Wednesday night. Majority's not always right. But we find that here they are standing on the edge of this promised land, and they send the 12 out, and these are leaders. These are people that are of influence. These are rulers of each tribe. They go out, and 10 of them come back and say, look, there's no way we can do this. There's no way we can do this. We've seen the giants. We've seen the walled cities. We've seen these mountains. There's no way we can do it. 10 of them said that. Two of them said, and you know their names. We don't know the other 10 names, but we know the two. Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb came back, and by the way, they weren't extraordinary men. They were not, obviously we find out later they were men of valor, but that's not why they came back and gave the report that they gave. They just simply had something different that the other 10 didn't have, and that's what we're going to talk about. We think about this. Moses speaking here and summarizing. I want you to notice with me. So let's just kind of go through this summary a little bit. If you'll let me read quickly for you in Numbers chapter 13. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. Notice these next words, which I give unto the children of Israel. So it was known. It was known to everyone there. It was especially known to Moses. He said, I want you to send 12 men out just to look at the land because I've already given you the land, but I want you to spy out the land. So they came back. And I want you to notice the response that happened when they came back. And the 10 influential people, by the way, 10 influential people stopped the fulfillment of God's command and God's work because 10 influenced the millions. The 10 stopped the whole group. That's why I made the statement on Wednesday night. Do you know that 10 influential people in this church can stop the fulfilling of God's work in this church for 40 years? But I want you to notice how God responded. Moses telling them now, when you were at this place and you were standing there on Kadesh Barnea, and we sent the 12 tribes out, and 10 of them came back and said no, and two said yes, but the group went with the 10, and we did not cross to the promised land, so God told us we're going to wander for 40 more years. Now they're standing right back 40 years later, standing right where they were 40 years ago. Because of 10 people. I want you to notice how God responded in verse 32 of Deuteronomy chapter 1. Yet, in this thing, ye did not believe the Lord your God. In this thing. Standing on the edge of the promised land, Kadesh Barnea, send out 12 spies, leaders of every tribe. 10 said nay, 2 said yea. The difference was this. The two just said, you know what? God's done told us. He's given us the land. We're just going to believe him. We're just going to believe him. God said, you did not believe God. Notice this. This thing. He had already told him he gave him the land. He said, I want you to go spy the land that I have given unto you. So that wasn't a question. It wasn't a question whether or not God had already promised them and told them something. So it wasn't that they didn't know. And there's so many Christians that we pull that on God all the time and say, well, we just didn't know. No, it's not that we didn't know. We knew. We refused to obey. We stiffen our necks up and say, ain't going to do it, and you ain't going to make me do it. God, help our souls. Because you know who gets hurt there? The young person, usually when they stiffen their neck up at me or somebody in authority like me, they stiffen their neck. I say, you ain't going to tell me what to do. Here's the sad thing about that. It doesn't hurt me a bit. That's not going to affect my life a bit. It's not going to change my course a bit. Jeremiah, if you bow up on me and say, Pastor, you ain't going to tell me what to do. Listen to me. I hope you don't feel that way. But you saying that's not going to change my life. It's going to change yours. It's going to change his. But there's where we live. We live in a society where we're training and teaching young people. Don't you let them tell you what to do. Don't you let them get the upper hand on you. They ain't got no right to tell you. Well, let me ask you a question. Does God have a right to tell you what to do? Or are we so godly, are we so full of humanism that we don't need nobody telling us what to do? So we don't need God, right? That's a religion, by the way. That's called humanism. We're ate up with it. It's what hurt these people. They got to a place, they said, I ain't going to do this. Too hard, too many mountains, too many giants. And the Bible says, in this thing you did not believe. In this thing. Here's the message. This thing. In this thing. What is your thing? What's this thing in your life? What's this thing in my life? What's this thing? What is it that stops most Christians from becoming great Christians? What is it? What is it, that thing? What is this thing that stops most of us from being the Christian that God has saved us to be? It's a this thing. It's a this thing. It is absolutely a challenge that we've come up against that we refuse. We absolutely refuse to believe God for it. We refuse. It's not that we don't know. It's not that we've not been told. It's not that we don't know what the consequences are. We stiffen our neck and say, no, we're not going to do it, God. And that's why I see so many Christians. That's why I've wandered around in the wilderness in my Christian life. That's why I see so many other Christians wandering around in the wilderness in their Christian life, because there's a this thing that they just won't obey God in. What is this thing? What is this thing? By the way, every one of us got a this thing. Right now, we're dealing with right now. We have a this thing that we're saying, nope, can't do it, won't do it, not going to trust God for it. You have a this thing right now, this thing. This thing, he said, in this thing ye would not believe the Lord. What is this thing? What is this thing? Hey, listen, this thing, a challenge that we've come up against that we refuse to believe God in. Quickly, let me just say, notice what they did believe God for. Go back with me to the plagues, the very last plague. What did God tell them to do? He said, the very last plague, the death angel is going to come. If you do not put blood over top of your doorposts, the death angel is going to kill your firstborn. Now, can I talk to every young person for just a second? I get a little put out when I hear young people look at people that love them and say, you don't have to tell me what, you can't tell me what to do. I couldn't imagine anybody that knows my mother and any my children or any of the nephews, anybody to ever look at my mother knowing who she is and what she's about and that she's proven her love and care for every one of us to ever look at her and say, well, you can't tell me what to do. That's the most silliest thing I've ever heard. Because let me just say to every young person just a minute, I've never heard a young person look at someone that says, hey, why don't you go get drunk with me? I've never seen a young person go back and say, I just told him that he's not going to tell me what to do. It's always been when it's something good that they just don't want to do. Well, you ain't going to tell me what. And then we hear this all. Well, I'm 18. Well, I'm an adult. You can't tell me what to do. Look at me. You better hold up and just wait a minute. You better think about who's telling you what to do. Because you know what? If they'd have pulled that on Moses, I'm going to tell you what would happen. I'm going to tell you what would happen. If they'd have said, I ain't doing it. I'm not putting them blood things up there. That's stupid. That don't make no sense. That's stupid. He's a fanatic about it. Why is he telling me to put blood? I don't understand why he wants blood up there. Hey, listen, sometimes God don't want us to understand. He just wants us to trust him. But let me help you with something. Let's just say that I'd have pulled that on God. You ain't telling me what to do. You're not going to tell me what to do. That's stupid. I don't have to be. I'm not going to be a legalist. I'm not going to put blood up here on the doorpost. I'm just not going to do it. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You just lost your child. You just lost your child. You got a funeral you're going to have to attend. Now, here's the amazing thing. No, here's what they did. They believed Moses when he told them, put the blood on the post. Put the blood up there because the death angel's coming. And you know what? They just believed. They trusted God. And you know what? God did what he said. He didn't kill their firstborn. But everyone that didn't put the blood up, the firstborn died. God proved himself. So these very same people that are standing on the edge of the promised land, they believed him for the blood on the posts. These same people that stood at this thing and did not believe the Lord, they walked day by day. And as they came to the Red Sea, they came to the Red Sea. They were in a bad place because there was no way of crossing. They were scared. The army was bearing down on them. These same people that are standing now at the promised land that's saying, no, we're not going to believe the Lord. They came to a place in their life where they stood at the Red Sea and they knew if something didn't happen, their life was going to be taken. But they sat there scared, yes, confused, yes. But you know what they did? They believed. They stood still and they watched God cross and part the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. God proved himself again. These same people standing here on the edge of the precipice of the promised land, this thing that they're balking on, this thing that they're stiffening their neck up and saying, we can't do it. This same group of people walk day by day following a cloud in front of them day by day. And at night, they watched a fire at night day by day by day. They trusted the leading of God in their life. But at this thing, in this thing, the Bible said they failed to believe the Lord. See, you know what most Christians are? We're not living by faith anymore. Most Christians I know are living by sight. Can I give an illustration? This thing. What is this thing? We're talking about, he said, at this thing. They had seen all of this other, and God had proved himself. So what about this thing? But yet in this thing, after all the proof and after all the time, they said, no, we cannot believe God. We cannot go in there and take that land. We cannot defeat those giants. We cannot climb the mountains. Why? No Christian has ever made significant strides without a great challenge. The reason so many Christians wander in the wilderness in their Christian life is because they quit taking challenges from God. For instance, we hear the same preaching week in, week out. We hear the same challenges week in, week out. Do you know there are some people that's in this church, they've not darkened the altar in a year. We hear the challenges, we hear the message of God's word week in, week out, week in, week out, week in, week out. And here's what we do. Oh, that promised land's too hard for me. Too hard. I can't climb that mountain. Can't get victory over that. Can't do that. Can't believe God. We do it week in, week out, week in, week out. We're challenged every week. We're challenged every week to go out and to hand out tracts. We're challenged every week to live for God. We're challenged every week to stay away from sin. We're challenged every week to be an encouragement to somebody else. We're challenged every week to worship and glorify the one that saved us. We're challenged every week to live on the top side and not down in the mommy grub patch where there's so many people that just determine, no, that's too much. Now, maybe pastor can stay positive, but I can't stay positive. No, the difference is you just ain't trusting God for it. Not believing in this thing, does he give peace just to me or does he give it to everybody? We got to believe God, but there's challenges in our lives. Think about it. No Christian has ever made significant strides without a great challenge. Too many giants, challenges, soil of faith, challenges, soil of faith. Number two, quickly, an average Christian walks by faith the first few miles of their Christian life. They really do. Because you know why? You got to. Man, this thing's new. I'm excited. Hey, praise God. Mr. Devin, Macintosh. Hey, would the Macintoshes stand? Y'all give them a big round of applause. This is the Macintoshes. Isn't that a blessing? They just got married, praise God. Ain't that a blessing? And they've encouraged my heart, you know, because they're trying to do things right. I appreciate that. Y'all may be seated. Thank y'all so very much. And Devin's going to get baptized this month. He just got saved. He's going to get baptized. He's going to follow the Lord in baptism. But listen to me. I want you to know something. Devin's just new at this thing. He just now started to become a Christian, and he just got saved a couple, few weeks ago. And so now, you have to live by faith when you're new. You know what I mean? Because there's certain things, everything's new. But now I've learned most Christians, those first few miles are gone, and you know, they don't have to believe him anymore. Now let me just give you for instance. See, I don't have to live by faith to be faithful to church anymore. You know why? Because God's already created that habit in my life. I don't have to live by faith. I just get up and I come to church. That doesn't take faith. Some people talk like going to church is like, oh, I'm showing my faith in God. No, you're just doing what you should do. You should just be to church because the one that loves you. But we sometimes use that as like, hey, God, I'm doing something special. I'm going to church. No, I don't have to live by faith anymore to be at church. He's already created that habit in me, and I live by sight because I know how it's changed my life. I know what it means to be out of church, and I know what it means not to have the faithful fellowship of Christian family and preaching and Sunday school class. I know what that does if I lay out. I know what happens and how that affects our marriage. I know by sight. I don't have to be faithful to church anymore by faith. Can I help you all something else? I'm not trusting by faith anymore to tithe. Please don't misunderstand me. We've tithed for 23 years. It doesn't take faith for me anymore to tithe. We've just done it. The first checks we write out is not everything else. It's to the church. It's our tithe, our missions, and our building fund project. It's not faith anymore. It's a habit in us. We don't live by faith anymore. We just do it. Boy, early on in my Christian life, I'm going to tell you right now, I had to really put some faith after. I had to trust God by faith to be faithful to church. Because you know what? God had to give me victory over things that was keeping me out of church. I had to have faith to quit things that was keeping me out of church. When I first started tithing, my wife would tell you, I struggled with that. I fussed with her. I argued with her. I said, honey, that's too much. That's crazy. We're not writing that much to the church. They don't need our money like that. She said, honey, it ain't got nothing to do with the church. She said, do you want to be honest with God? Do you want to rob God? I said, no. She said, well, if we don't tithe, we're robbing God. So for 23 years now, it hasn't been faith that's had us to write a check. We write the check. It's by way of habit. Early on in that thing, I'm going to tell y'all right now, man, it was some real faith I had to trust. But I had some, man, I've never done this. We can't do it. We can't afford it. If you see what's going out, you see what's coming in. It don't add up. But you know what? Now, after 23 years, he's already proved himself, Brother Larry. I know that he opens the windows of heaven and pours out blessings that I can't even explain. So it's not faith anymore. He's proved himself in that. Someone say, well, Pastor, are you still trusting God for your call to preach? Are you living by faith? Now, please don't misunderstand me, but there's new challenges now. I would love for you to go back to the very first night that I was asked to preach. I'll never forget it. I had this little piece of paper. I had that thing wrote down with so many things, and I was like, whew, I don't know if that's going to fill up 30 minutes. Are y'all with me? I had all this stuff down this piece of paper. Man, I was overgoing it in my mind. I was like, man, I got to get up there and I got to speak for 30 minutes. And I don't know. And you should have seen that little paper and listen to me. But you know what? It really doesn't take faith anymore for me to write down some words on a paper because it's just something that I do. But now I have different challenges. I never dreamed when I sat over there in that parking lot in Hinton, West Virginia on the river writing out that little message for the first time. I never dreamed that pretty soon or down the road that not only was you going to have to preach, but she's going to be counseling people and talking to them about their home and about their relationships. I didn't know that was going to consider. Didn't know after I was writing down that little old message for the first time that God was going to have to give me faith for the first time, Brother Cobby, when I stood before a hurting family and they were burying their mother and I didn't have any experience on even having to do a funeral. Early on in those early years, I was trusting God to learn how to preach, and I was trusting God to be able to get a message. And by the way, I still trust Him for those things, but you understand what I'm saying. God brings different challenges into your life. I say to Brother Clay, and I say it to all of you. Some people say, well, Clay's ready, he's ready. And by the way, he is ready in the way of preaching. But there's a lot of things that only God can develop and teach people. And there's always where we've got to trust God for things. And by the way, when He's working on you, when He's maturing you, when He's got His hand on you, when He's trying to develop you, when He's trying to mature you, I wish I could say to you that it's easy. But it's not. When God's really got His hand on you, when He's really trying to develop you, when He's really trying to mature you, He sets obstacles and challenges in front of you so you can clear them. And you learn how to trust Him. Most Christians I know are not living by faith anymore. Years ago we used to, Pastor, but now I'm going to tell you what we are. We're comfortable in this thing. We're comfortable in this thing. God help us. We can't get comfortable in this thing. You say, Pastor, what you got in mind? Well, I think we need to stir some stuff up. By the way, if you're scared, that's good. If I'm scared, that's good, because you know what's going to be the death knell of this church is, oh, we've done that. We're okay there. We got plenty there. Somebody help me. Oh, we're comfortable there. Oh, no, Pastor, we're a little bit about testing the water, but now we don't want to go too far. No, I'm going to tell you right now, most churches I know aren't believing the Lord in this thing. And we're done got comfortable. Done got, what is this thing we done got comfortable on? See, years ago, you say, well, Pastor, I want to tell y'all something right now, and I'm convicted by this. It took some great faith for us to pull up our family and come here. And I'm going to be honest with you. I sat the other day, just talked to Him. I said, Lord, what else can You do in my life to get me back there? Where I'm trusting You for something. Because I'm going to tell you right now, He's always proved Himself. What I thought was impossible, what all the mountains that we thought was unable to climb, all the things. I mean, have y'all just hung around here the last 9 years? I mean, He's done some pretty miracle-looking stuff. And I'm not being ugly, but I have to share. I'll never forget the first time some two people that we knew in West Virginia, there's nobody here, but they came here, and I'll never forget. I know this sounds awful. I probably shouldn't even share it. Two people come walking in this church, and she said, my goodness, she said, I look like I've done stepped back in time. That was the first word these people said. She said, I'm going to tell you what, this looks like the church that my great-great-great-grandparents was in. I'm not being belittling to you, but I'm just going to tell y'all something. Everything's not about the physical, but the physical around here looks pretty good. I mean, God's done something there. And He's continuing to do things there. But look, these buildings are wonderful and fine. It's fine that things look great. But I'm going to tell you what's more important than that. I'll just tell y'all right now. The Macintoshes is what I'm in it for. I mean, that's just if y'all here this morning, you're thinking, man, I just don't know if God's still alive. Well, just look at Him. God just saved His soul. Hey, they try to do things right. Hey, listen to me. God's still working. What is this thing? This thing. This thing you didn't believe the Lord in. This thing. What did you not believe? What could He say to Tiftonia Baptist Church? Say, Pastor Mark, this thing's keeping you from the blessings of God. This thing's kept our church wandering for the next 40 years. This thing, this little thing that you thought was no big deal, that you thought was no big deal, but this thing God pulls on me later and says, Mark, it was this thing that you didn't believe me for. God, help us. this thing. Could I say maybe right now this thing for you is just being faithful to church? By the way, this thing, that right there will keep you in trouble. I've learned something. When people aren't faithful to church, they're out of the loop. Come on, now let's just talk. Let's just focus in on just the norm now. If you're not here, you miss out on a lot of stuff. And then what happens is there's assumptions that are made, like, well, I wonder why such and such was done. Well, if you'd have been here 2 weeks in a row, you'd have known that. Now, I'm just saying, but this thing, and look at me. Laura and I, we know what that means. When we first got married, we was out. We didn't completely get out of church, but you could almost say we was out of church. We didn't have a church home. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was that thing that kept Laura and I for a long time. This thing. It was that little thing. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. You know, when you get married, it don't matter where you go to church. Look at me. It matters. And by the way, let me just help everybody here. If you're dating somebody and you think it don't matter what they believe, look at me. It does matter. I'm going to tell you right now, me and Laura both were saved, but we believed different and it caused problems. And Mike and Kim, y'all can shout amen right there. Mom and Dad, y'all can shout amen right there, because as soon as church was over, I'm going to tell you what my mom was doing. She was doing the wind to dance. We was coming out of church. Me and Kim was on sides, and Mike and Laura was on sides. We was coming back from church instead of thanking the Lord for the blessings of God. I'm going to tell you what we was doing. We was running over the house. We getting ready to get in the biggest knockout, drag-out fight you ever heard in your life. And Mom, before she even gets over and fixes supper, she's going, slam, slam. She's slamming all them windows down because she didn't want the people coming out of church to hear her family fight about church. Yeah. Guilty right here. And you say, Pastor, who was the instigator of it? Right here. I wish I could go back and smack that boy. How stupid you were. It was all stinking pride's all it was. But this thing, that thing kept us for a long time. This thing. And that little thing. Just not believing the same. You say, well, who got right? I got tuned in. I just wish I'd have gotten tuned in sooner. Here's the amazing thing. The thing I used to despise about her preacher, I'm kind of like him now. How's that happen? I used to sit back there because I know how some people talk. I know how people hear me preach and I know what they're doing. I'll tell you what, he's crazy. He thinks he's the only one that's right. Well, he said, you know why y'all do that? I know why people do that, because I did it. Somebody say old me or old my or something. Well, I could do better than him. I'd love for Johnny Atkinson to pull that one on me. Because you know what? I sat back here many times, Brother Mike. I said, I'll tell you right now, I can do better than Brother Johnny. I'd love for him to have known that and went, come on up here, big boy. You know what I do? I mean, when I got married, I forgot my wife's name. Johnny went, I'm Mark, take thee, Laura. I went, I'm Mark, take thee. It's a whole lot easier. I could do better than Johnny. You say, Pastor, do you really people think like that? And it's this thing that keeps us from hearing what God wants. Well, who's he think he is? I'm going to tell you who I think I am. I'm nobody. But I love you. And you or me stiffening up our necks to God isn't helpful to us 1 second. It's only harmful. So let's go ahead and stiffen up our neck and not believe it. I'm going to tell you something. There will be something to pay for that. How about we just believe him in this thing? I don't know what this thing is for you. Might be faithfulness. Might be doubt. Might be unbelief. Hey, it might be, I've wrote down a many of things here. It might be, I've got them wrote down here. Hey, it might be, what is this thing? This thing could be surrendering. Maybe there's a young man or a young woman here, and you say, hey, I'm going to tell you what's holding me back. I've never surrendered my life to God. This thing, that thing will keep you from believing the Lord. Look, your life's not yours. This thing. What about trust? And hey, what about serving? And let me just say, this church needs workers. I'm just going to be honest. We need workers. We need committed workers. Someone asked me the other day and said, Pastor, what is the one thing that could fix most of your problems at the church? I'm going to tell you what, committed people to help us plug holes. We got holes. We've got people to influence. And here's sometimes, I'm just being honest, sometimes I get so frustrated with the world because the world gets all the help. Our community gets all the help, and people are ready to jump in there, and they're ready to do all that. But what about God? Woo. What about the Lord? What about the work down at the church? What about, hey, I'm going to tell you, say, well, Pastor, I'll just be honest with you. I just think y'all got enough. We don't. This thing, serving. Hey, my wife's going to meet, hopefully, with many of you ladies will come the night of the ladies' banquet. So, Pastor, I don't like those things. Well, it's not all about you liking things. Where can you serve at? We're going to get some teams up that people are hurting. People need help. People need food. People need some encouragement. We're going to try to put something together where a group of our ladies can help people when they're hurting. There's a great need for that. There's a great need. And we can do better. What is this thing? Maybe serve it. I ain't got time for that, Pastor. And I mean this. I want every young lady to listen to me. We live in a day where everybody's busy. Everybody's got jobs. I get all of that. And I know people have families. I would never take you from. But I want to tell you something. You have a woman, and I know there's more than one woman. I can only speak for one. But I know there's a woman that has balanced both. She's always worked outside of the home, but she's never let the work of God see. She's always done just as much as any other lady in this church that doesn't work. You say, well, how does she do it? Talk to her. She's not fixing four-course meals. Crockpot will go a long way. Somebody help me right there. Hey, going and buying Hillbilly Willies and saying, hey, just thought of you a little bit. Let me bring this to your house. I mean, listen to me. What is this thing? You say, oh, Pastor, I can't serve God. Well, can you not buy Hillbilly Willies? See, we have this idea, oh, man, I can't serve the Lord. It takes too much of our time. No, sometimes it really don't take a lot of time. I'm going to tell you what it takes. It just takes some belief and some desire. What is this thing? Oh, well, Pastor, I'm telling you right now, I got a family. I'm not going to take from a family. Never asked you to take from your family. I'd never want. This work needs to suffer every time if your child's going to suffer. I would never ask you for your child to suffer instead of this church. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I know both can be done if the priorities are right. This thing. This thing. What is this thing? Serving? Oh, Pastor, that bus ministry. This thing. Hey, surrender. This thing. What is it? Hey, maybe it's a financial issue. I don't know. What is this thing? Someone might say, well, I can't trust God for that because what's that going to happen to my finances? Can I help y'all with that? He going to take care of you if you trust him. I mean, now look, I can't make that decision for you, but I'm going to tell you right now, if it has to do with finances, won't you just trust him? Maybe some of you men, here's the thing stopping you. It's this thing. You've just not set your family down. And looked at him and said, look, I'm going to tell all of you something right now. I love you, but we're going to do this thing. We're going to do this thing. We're going to set mama down. We're going to set the children down. And we're going to look at him as a man with love and say, listen, I love y'all, but I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to sit down. We're going to do this thing. We're going to stop this stuff, and we're going to do this thing. That right there is huge. Daddies need to be daddies, and men need to be men, and leaders need to be leaders. And listen, by the way, your wife might not like it the first, but she'll love that you leading her. And I'll promise you this, when those children live back through a life of 30, 40 years and they've been using the work of God, I've never known one of them go up to their mom and dad and say, I just want y'all to know, I am so mad at y'all that y'all made me be faithful to God. I've never heard of one do it. But I've heard them say this. Why didn't y'all tell me that at home? Dad, why didn't you ever step up? I've heard that. This thing. What's this thing? He said, in this thing you've not believed the Lord. What is this thing? I don't know what it is. I'm going to tell y'all what it is, this thing for me right now. Y'all want, can I confess to you? I don't want it to be fear. We got to press on. I'm going to tell you right now, when people don't understand us and people have assumptions about us and, you know, churches are changing, I just want y'all to know something right now. Here's what I want to be. I want to be right here on this. I want to believe this book. But I'm going to tell you what this thing is. Sometimes it gets a little heavy to carry because you want people to like you. I know what it feels like, Brother Mike. You walk in a group of people, and I know instantly when the preacher walks in how people act. I know how it is. We're getting ready to probably go here in a bit, and I understand this. I'm going to have to walk in to a home that I'm very familiar with, but because of the way certain people are living, I'm going to walk in there, and I'm going to be acting like they're going to treat me like I have a snake. And I'm the same old uncle. Uncle Mark was the same when they were little. But see, now Uncle Mark's changed, see. Uncle Mark's changed. No, Uncle Mark ain't changed. Somebody else changed. And so I see how they walk around. They stiffen up their neck, and they go, you ain't going to tell me what to do. And by the way, that's not my desire. I'm not trying to tell them what to do, but I love them. And I care about them. I know how it feels. And that ain't a pity party. But you know, there's more to things than that. But I'm going to tell y'all what. Sometimes that thing wants me to stop. I just want everybody to look at me normal like everybody else gets looked at. This thing. Oh, well, there's the preacher. I know what he's going to say. He's going to be against all of it. Well, sometimes that thing gets on me. And you know what? I just like for everybody else just to be around and don't have to worry about what the preacher thinks. Are y'all with me? I'm just being open and honest now. This thing, that thing could get me to stop and quit believing God for this thing. You know why? It'd be a whole lot cooler to be a cooler pastor. You know, there are some people say, man, my pastor's cooler than your pastor. I don't know. Y'all probably can't say that. But really, to be quite honest with you, I don't think I should shoot for that. But that's the day we live in. Oh, man, my pastor's cooler than you. Well, what's he do? Do you know? He rap? Does that make him cooler? You know, you don't dress with a shirt and a tie, and you know, he comes up here. Is that make him cooler? I mean, but listen, but now y'all know what we are. We're looked at like dinosaurs because we believe this book right here. This thing. See, this thing has got many of preachers say, you know what? We can do this thing easier. We can have church easier. We don't have to have people mad and upset and misunderstand me. I can take all those standards down. We can lower the bar. This thing. That could be my thing. What's this thing in your life that we're not trusting God for? It's a challenge. I wish I could say to you this morning, God's hands on you, it's not going to be easy. You know, he places rocks and giants and mountains and walled fences and walled cities right in front of you to mature you. Because that next challenge is just another opportunity to trust him for it. Let's live by faith. Here's what I say to y'all. All of you need a challenge this year. What is it? I'm going to tell y'all something. This thought right here will change our life, change our church, change families. what is this thing? By the way, the moment that word said, this thing, it's already come up in your mind. You know what it is. This thing. What is it? What are you not believing God in? This thing. Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Let's ask God to help us a minute. This thing. You saved, then you've trusted him. You've already know he's proved himself. He saved you, right? Now, what's this thing stopping you? Maybe it's tithing. I don't know. Tithing, giving, serving. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe it's setting your husband down and talking to him. Maybe it's your wife setting her down, talking to her and saying, look, we got to do this thing. We got to help each other to do this thing. What is it? Maybe it's a financial issue. You say, well, Pastor, I would do more there. I would serve more, but you're going to name a thing. That's the thing I'm talking about. This thing. What is it? Now, could I ask in honesty? How many of you know right now, God has already, he's already told you it's this thing. And you know it, and you're not ashamed of it. I audibly confess mine to y'all's. I'm not going to ask you to confess nothing. I want to just see, how many of you know God has already put his finger on this thing in your life? Would you be honest and slip up your hand? Now, what are we going to do with it? Let's believe him for it. You don't have to tell nobody. Just talk to the Lord about it.